Dr. Norman Finkelstein is in the studio with me tonight. He's a professor of English at Xavier University and the author of a number of books of literary criticism as well as poetry. Some of his recent books of poetry are Track and Inside the Ghost Factory. Tonight we're going to talk about and hear some of his poetry. Norman, it's delightful to meet you finally and welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you, Barbara. It's really a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the invitation.
Let's start with a poem from Inside the Ghost Factory, such a fascinating title. And this poem certainly refers back to that. So read Forevertron, if you would, please.
Forevertron. I have built a machine to visit the stars. I have built a machine to outlast the stars. There's a glass ball inside a copper egg. There are dynamos and turbines, Tesla coils and magnets. There is a boy in Brooklyn, Wisconsin, and a boy in Eddington, England. They are the same boy. There is a man in a hat in Baraboo. They are all named Tom. They are all named Dr. Evermore, which is now their real name. Queen Victoria is watching among the giant insects, the fiddle-shaped birds. The stray voltage goes in the stray voltage cages, all silver, red, and blue. The music will signal the ascent. This is the overlord master control. This is the graviton. These are the celestial listening ears. When you ask me what has changed my life, I tell you motors, generators, compressors, transformers. I tell you boilers, pumps, transmitters, and flywheels. When you ask me if I found them, I say no. I rescued them.
There's a photo of you, and I assume it's in front of this sculpture garden that is what was the inspiration for a lot of poems, as I understand it. So who's Dr. Evermore?
Dr. Evermore is I guess you can call him an environmental sculptor. He has built the biggest scrap metal sculptural environment in the world, which is, I guess, about 15 or 20 miles outside of Madison, Wisconsin. And it is called the Forevertron. And I have a great interest in outsider art. I'm a big fan of the Watts Towers and Simon Rodia's work. I had heard about this sculpture, and my wife and I went to see it a few years back. And I just thought that I had walked onto holy ground. It's an astonishing work of art, and it's just sitting there behind a hardware store off of a state route there. Dr. Evermore himself ran a wrecking company. And like so many outside artists, he seemed to have experienced a kind of crisis around the time of his retirement. And after wrecking this huge munitions factory across the road, he decided to salvage a great deal of the material. And he created this kind of marvelous sci-fi environment and recreated himself. His name was Tom Every, but he calls himself Dr. Evermore now.
Well, it's fascinating to think of munitions factory being transformed into art.
Pieces of it.
Yeah. I think you described it as whimsy and sublimity combined.
Yeah, it is. There's a great deal of whimsy in it. He has a whole orchestra of instruments transformed into birds and other animals that are supposedly playing along as Dr. Evermore ascends into the cosmos, because there's a myth attached to the whole thing, too. He's literally kind of recreated himself as this Victorian scientist.
If you would, read us another poem from Inside the Ghost Factory. This one is titled Hotel Ellipsis.
Before I start, I should note that a lot of the poems in Ghost Factory have a kind of line beneath the main text and a sort of ghost voice. And I'm always wondering how to read that ghost voice. It usually just makes a little comment, so I might do a kind of stage whisper here. Hotel Ellipsis. This is how I do it. First, I tell myself not to be frightened. It will be okay. Then I read the books, the ones that are already written. It may be a relapse, but that doesn't matter either. Gestures are gestural, but they are also symptomatic, procedural. Proceed 3 blocks in any direction and then turn left. Black spots lead to maps, which lead to a childish sensibility. Hold on to that, but not too tightly. Her breasts rise and fall with the waves regardless. She is wise, and so am I, or you, constituting a lovely vacation. Then it gets sinister. The violence is organized, rationalized. Some of my friends are put on a list representing an alternative. 2 lists, 3 alternatives. Do you love me? Yes, but I wish you would stop staring at her. This is not the third way. Consider it a couplet.
I was intrigued by this poem because ellipsis usually refers to something left out, to those three dots that indicate that. And so that contributed further to the enigmatic quality of this poem for me as I was thinking about it and taking it apart, if you will, reassembling it in my mind. It occurred to me that I was curious in your life what it's like to be a literary critic and to write poetry, and how do those things overlap, or are they just a natural for you?
Well, in a sense, they are just a natural for me. I've written a great deal of literary criticism, mainly about modern and contemporary poetry. And my feeling has always been that I am a poet at heart, but I also want to say something about what's going on in the literary world around me all the time. And frankly, a lot of the work that I've written, however close the analyses might be, are meant to be evaluative. I mean, I want to say, this is work by other poets which has moved me and which I think is important. And I think that I can explain a little bit as to why I think it's important. So almost all of the literary criticism I've written, however scholarly in its orientation, has had that goal.
You alluded to this before you read this poem, that there is a line of demarcation, shall
we
call
it?
Yes. At the end of each of these poems, and then this ghost voice coming in. So how important is form to you in your writing poetry?
It's tremendously important, but not in a traditional way. I don't write in verse, in set meters, for the most part. I don't use rhyme, for the most part. But I also think that there's a great deal of musicality and lyricism in my work, too. But at the same time, there is a great sense of measure, I would like to believe, and a sense of order. A lot of the poems in Ghost Factory work a three-line stanza, a four-line stanza, sometimes couplets. I think in those terms very frequently. And I think that the consciousness of form is always hovering over me. It has to be. But on the other hand, you have to let it become unconscious largely, too.
Read one more poem for us, if you would, please.
Sure.
This is titled At Home in Cincinnati.
Which is ironic to begin with, since it took me a long time to think of Cincinnati as my home. When I was a boy, I thought that Connecticut was the place where things connect. Later, I learned that such places are everywhere and nowhere. Insert image here. Old postcards are preferable, vacation spots which have fallen out of fashion. Faded photos from the family album are also acceptable, but don't overdo it. Please don't go to any trouble. Consider how the items arrive, always from out of state. They arrive mysteriously, often with postmarks, years out of date. I am a foot soldier. The higher levels have their reasons. I open the box and find old vintages, old quotations. I open the box only to discover the suspicions one harbors during the tense scenes of questionable movies. Suspicions. I was talking about it, and she said, it's not a job. No, I answered, it's a vocation, a calling.
I'm so interested in this use of the word calling because, while I think to those listening, it will sound like C-A-L-L-I-N-G, it's actually C-A-U-L-I-N-G.
Which is an invented word.
I know. I loved it. I loved it. So tell me if I'm right, because I looked it up. Call is the protective amniotic coding that we come into this world with.
Right. And it's a pun related to the concept of the poet's identity as a calling, C-A-L-L-I-N-G. Because there is a superstition, don't ask me where I've heard this because I'm not sure, that if a child is born with part of the call still on his or her head, that child is going to become a prophet. And I relate poetry to prophecy in all sorts of ways, and Ghost Factory is loaded with references of that sort. So it's a double pun. It's a calling. What I do is a calling, not a job, though I was not born with a call on my head, as far as I know.
It's lovely to be with you. Thanks so much for visiting with us tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
I've been talking with Dr. Norman Finkelstein. poet, literary critic, and professor of English at Xavier University. You'll find more information about his poetry, including his recent books, Track and Inside the Ghost Factory, at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.